At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, giving 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 287th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with the proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, man? How you doing?
Dude, it's been a long few weeks. I got sick. Yeah. I got sick, like, ill from All In. I was glad I was able to record the All In review before I got sick, but I was sick for 10 days. It was pretty miserable. Like coughing. I probably had COVID. I never tested for it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I thought it was just a cold. Then it turned out to be like, it was like bronchitis. But I never really had fevers or anything. I just felt like shit for 10 days to the point where I was like, I couldn't sleep because I was coughing so much. Yeah, so I finally, like, the last day I was sick, I don't know if it was coincidence or what it was, I took 2 Benadryl, which I'm, like, for allergies, I'll take 1 a day or whatever, but I took 2, and that shit dried me out, and I was actually able to sleep, like, 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up from that 10 hours sleep, you would have not known how deathly ill I felt that morning. It was like, all I needed was that good sleep, so I am back. We're hanging with your family, having a good time, and, you know, last week, so we couldn't record last week. It is what it is. That's the more of the normal why, and I was like, me being sick was just kind of like, I can't talk more than 10 words without coughing, so we can't do the show. That's where it was, so. But yep. I've been enjoying AEW programming. Don't get me wrong, it's been amazing. A couple things got announced. I was so mad I couldn't do the show. I actually, like, it was 1 week when they announced the tournament. I started recording audio. I was going to do it by myself. And I literally could not make it 40 seconds without coughing. Like, and it wasn't like 40 seconds. It was like 40 seconds. Big, like, coughing thing because, you know, when you're talking, you're breathing. And my breathing was off, so... We are glad to be back. I'm excited to be back. I did have an announcement. I thought I told you about it, but I don't think I did. My friend Laura, I've met her on social media over the last 2 months. She's a diehard Young Bucks fan, so I know you and her would get along very, very well.
Sure.
She's very active on social media. I suck. If anybody knows, me saying I suck is probably not aggressive enough word. I'm really bad at managing the All Things Elite Twitter account. I don't. I'll get on, I'll tweet a lot for a day, and then not tweet for a month. So I asked her, hey, would you run this account? I kind of told her the specs for it, sending stuff. So if you noticed over the last week or two, there's been a little bit more activity on the All Things Elite account. That was not me. That was my friend Laura. She welcomed her as a part of the team. What I did is I looked at all her social medias and how she tweets, and she's a very positive person, which goes along with the, you know, the thing that we do. And I even said, I was like, and it kind of went along with what we do, and I was like, I am so fucking bad at, like, Twitter, like, staying up on Twitter. So, yeah, so she's kind of on the team as, I mean, I could call her our social media manager, but I don't think it's anything that aggressive. She just manages our Twitter, you know, that kind of thing.
For sure.
Yeah, so, yeah, she's cool. She's going to be in Philly for all the residency shows, the Residency Dynamite, so that's cool. I met her and Kendi, they're best friends. They're both Young Bucks people. I've met them over the last month or two. I really gotten to get to know them. They're pretty cool. They are very much an asset to the AEW fan base, so I just kind of wanted to shout them out and let y'all know if you see people from Twitter, on Twitter, it's probably not me. I will manage to tweet, I'll send out the show or whatever, but besides that, it's, yeah, it's probably going to be her doing it, and yeah, because I just like, it's like the news that comes out from AEW, certain things, I just want to retweet it, quote tweet it, questions of the day, that kind of stuff. I did want to, I'm not going to do it this month, but for this month, I want to completely steal a gimmick from, Keeping the Strong Style, and I want to see how long we can be consistent as they are. Every month, okay. Keeping the Strong Style does a match of the month and wrestler of the month. So they take in all the shows and all the matches from that month, and they give, hey, and they kind of communicate between each other what the match of the month and the wrestler of the month are. I think that would be something that we can add a little bit to our show. And for me, I want to kind of open it up. And we'll do this at the end of August. I want to open it up to the people that listen to the show. Hit up AT Elite Pod if you have any strong feelings on what should be the match or the wrestler of the month. Your strong feelings will be taken into consideration, but the ultimate decision is me and Austin's, right? So if you're just a massive Orange Cassidy fan, and I'm just using him because he's out right now, but you're a massive Orange Cassidy fan, and he has, like, four matches, and we, like, think they're average, but, you know, you think you're the greatest matches of all time, there's a chance Orange Cassidy might not get picked as the wrestler of the month. I'm just using him because he's out, and I didn't want to seem like I was trying to bury somebody, but he has a very passionate fan base. So I'm just letting you know. It will be taken into account, but not necessarily. Now, if we get, like, 100 tweets of, like, it's Will Hobbs or it's this person, yeah, I'm probably going to be like, hey, okay, this is pretty aggressive that it should be him. So even if I don't think it, I might just go ahead and we might communicate between each other instead. But I've always loved that gimmick. I love the show. I do think if you are watching New Japan, New Japan, and you're watching this G1 season, getting into Wrestle Kingdom season, there is no better podcast. And I mean, I've listened to multiple New Japan podcasts. I am not saying this because they're on our podcast network. There is pretty much no more body more knowledgeable about New Japan in their history than Josh. And Jeremy is right there with them, but his analytics and his professionalism that he brings to the show is amazing. I think they have this perfect chemistry. And like I said, I'm not just putting them over because they're on our network. That would be easy. I've listened to other New Japan podcasts. They're great. Don't get me wrong. But the best New Japan podcast, the king the New Japan podcast, is the one and only Keeping the Strong Style.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all in though on the trying to do favorite match of the month and wrestler of the month too. I think that should be something that we should try to get going now. I think that would be fun to do.
Yeah, because if I had to go from last month, I'm just, and this is not anything official because I do plan on kind of keeping a record of it. but I would have probably went Hangman for July because All In, and you know, he's become the face of the company. Match would probably be the Young Bucks versus Swerve and Will Ospreay. Any quick thoughts, or like just unofficial thoughts? It's not like I'm asking you the deep thing.
Yeah, I mean, like that'd probably be pretty close to me, I would say. I think a number, a close, like probably my, my go-to for wrestler of the month for me would probably be like, I mean, this has been the build for Hangman. So like it would be either Hangman or I feel like another good one you could do would be, Tony Storm, I think would be a good one as well.
That's hard to argue against. That is, and like if I was like if you we were like Hangman and Tony, I would be like yes. Like I have no answer for that. The answer would just be yes. They both had amazing months. The Tony's character's on a different level right now. Hangman's character on a different level, and this is kind of going into what the first part of our show was supposed to be anyway, is which is our AEW catch-up. We've been gone for 3 weeks. We literally didn't do one show during the Chicago residency. We missed the whole Chicago residency. Because the last show we did was Tuesday before the residency started. So we missed the whole residency.
Oh, no.
I was looking at it, and if you're talking about the MVP of the residency, I'd have to either go with Tony Storm, right? Or
yeah,
or the FTR. And it's not because I'm an FTR fan. They had great matches with Outrunners. Their stuff that they've been doing, their promos that they've been cutting with Stokely have been amazing. I just think, you know, they were the collision thing. But if you just go on an overall MVP of it, with her showing up in the balconies and all that stuff, you got to go with Tony Storm, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, honestly, for being for real. Like,
yeah.
It just seems like she's been doing so fire, like, stuff right now. And like I said, building up to that match with her and Mercedes, I think, was just spectacular stuff.
But. Yeah, there's no question that her and Hangman are the male and female faces of AEW right now.
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean...
Absolutely.
And the rating last night, I don't know if you saw this, 711,000.18 for Dynamite last night. Shout out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've been saying this before. You got your boy. Now it's time to show up. And
oh, yeah.
Show up by watching it on TV. Show up by buying tickets. Show up by buying his merch. It's time, like, y'all, the Hangman is who the consensus wanted. I'm not going to even say y'all. It was the consensus. The overwhelming consensus is that Hangman should be the guy. Well, you got him as your guy. He is the guy. Support him as the guy. I think I said that the last show we recorded, but I really want to drive home that fact because Tony Khan, metrics, numbers. That's what he is. He owns a number, basically a number crunching company for sports metrics. If he doesn't see the metrics that go along with Hangman being the guy, mm-hmm. How long do you think he will be the guy?
I feel like it's like, I feel like, because like, especially considering the fact that I feel a lot of people felt like the reign itself the first time around was just kind of like, it was good, but it wasn't like what we wanted after that odyssey to the championship. So I think I could see him holding the belt for a significant amount of time. You know what I mean?
And that's what I'm saying. And that's great. With somebody saying this should, I've heard people say this should be like his definitive run, and I'm fine with that. But those kind of definitive runs happen because the numbers match up with it.
Correct.
So that's what I'm saying. Go buy your tickets. I'm not, of course, don't go broke. Don't go into massive amounts of debt. But if you're like on the fence about tickets and you have the money, go to the show. That's all I'm saying. I will never tell anybody how you should prioritize your money in your life. That's your business. I'm just saying if it comes down to it and you're on the fence and you have the money and you're a big Hangman fan, make sure you're supporting Hangman. That's all I'm saying. So, like, I know priorities, kids, bills, cars, all sorts of shit. You should put all of that first. But, you know, when you come down to your recreational spending, you know, and you got a show in your area, hey, man, look into going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hey, me and Sydney made a last-minute thing where we went to Cleveland to go. We were going to go to Canton to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which we did, and it was a ton of fun. And we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was my second time going. So I was hyped that we were able to make that happen again. But we found out Dynamite was going to be in Cleveland, so I was just like, let's just hit that up. So I mean, we chose a good show to go to. It was a lot of fun. It felt like to me, I don't know, Floyd, if you thought this, there was less matches, so each match had the chance to just go and stretch out and get their time in and get their shit in. Yes. So it felt like every match just felt like there was a ton of good stuff in it. You know what I mean?
Yes, and the idea, I was very excited about the idea that they were building, they built to a match, to a main event match that basically had stakes that wasn't for the world title. So
No, exactly.
So it was like they built to this MJF and Briscoe. And I think that's a reason it was announced in advance. It had been built for months. And look at the ratings. Look at the ratings on when you have anticipation for the match. You had the Young Bucks in their match in the tournament against Brodito. Again, announced early. People were like, oh, I can get excited about Young Bucks. And I understand Tony Khan's side of it where he's like, he's trying to drive social media numbers and all that stuff by announcing matches that day. Hey, I'm never going to argue with you. You're Tony Khan, and Tony I trust. But I will say this. I do think you'll get more numbers in the 700,000s when you have matches built to that you announce early.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, they've already announced, like, something, like a segment for next week, which I think is going to draw big numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, but as far as the residency, it was fun. I love that it ended on Kyle Fletcher beating Dustin Rhodes in the most violent and bloody match ever. Now, small critique.
Okay.
I love the match. It was bloody. It was fucking disgusting. It was something you're really only going to see in AEW. It was great. My wife loved it. My wife wanted to watch it again because my wife, unlike what I've heard metrics on, loves blood in wrestling. She's like, it's not a match unless there's blood in it, right?
Right.
So that's great. But I think, and Kyle Fletcher got the win, and it was pretty definitive. But I think if you're building up Kyle Fletcher to me as this generational star, and again, this is no critique to Dustin Rhodes at all. I love Dustin. Mm-hmm. I will support him until he retires. But you're wrestling a 56-year-old man that kind of won on a fluke in the Fatal 4-Way, right? That's how it was kind of presented, right? He should have just whooped his ass.
Yeah, I mean,
he struggled a long time with this man. And maybe you have that match down the road. But I think in that definitive last match of Collision, he should have just, like, dominated the match and ended him. Like, Dustin should have had a couple hope spots. But it should have basically been Fletcher just dominating the match. Now, to me, and this is where, you know, the business side of it, I think you could have got two matches out of it. If you have Fletcher just dominate Dustin, and then Dustin comes back and says, you know, because, you know, street fight, and then you do the other match. I think you get two big matches out of Kyle Fletcher and Dustin Rhodes instead of just the one street fight. But I know,
yeah,
I see the reasoning. You wanted to end the residency on a big match in a big moment. So I can't say anything about that. I get it. But like I said, it was just a little thought process. It was like, man, he struggled with that old man a little too hard.
Yeah, I mean, again, I was hyped about just the performance itself. And again, too, Dustin was just, oh, my God. Like, holy shit. Like, that man is a warrior.
Dude, I popped when he came out to the old natural music.
Yes.
Dude, that song hadn't been on in years. I hadn't heard it in years, and I still knew all the words for it.
So, no, I honestly, like, that was the takeaway I had from most of AEW, because, like I said, we've unfortunately been, like I said, missing a couple episodes, so the big thing I took out of this past weekend was, and just this most recent stuff was, yeah, Fletcher and Dustin Rhodes absolutely wrecked each other with some great stuff. I really liked the work from I still love what they've been doing with the Bucks and their stupid ass. Now they're no longer EVPs and shit like that. That being said, if you're gonna be actually jobbers like the crowd chants you are, you should lose in 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
If you're gonna be called jobbers, you should be jobbers.
They just get the jobber entrance. I mean, you can't.
I know, but you still.
You can't job out the second greatest tag team of all time. Just can't do it.
And Hangman and Moxley from last week was also a very, very good time. We've just been kind of like, I feel like we've been mostly just kind of floating through and getting some stuff slowly set up for Forbidden Door and stuff like that. But you're feeling the come down a little bit, I think, for the most part from All In. But it's not a bad thing because I feel like the setups for Dynamite has led to like really good just internal, just singular shows.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. If you were going to miss a few weeks of doing this show, I felt like that was the correct few weeks to miss because it was after All In. You didn't know what the new stories were going to be. You didn't know anything like that. And now it's like last night, it felt like a lot of stuff developed last night. You saw a lot of new directions last night. You got an intriguing matchup for next week. So it's just like, I feel like this was if we're going to come back, we did not want to miss any shows. But if we were going to miss shows, I felt like this was the show to come back to because a lot came out of this show as far as what's going on for next week and what we're getting into, Forbidden Door, which is also, I wanted to mention about Forbidden Door. Hey, we're a full 18 days away and I think we have like 4 matches. Where'd that come from?
I know. It's like we've already, honestly, it's kind of crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, so we got like 4 matches. So anything else that we did not catch from it?
I think that's about it, honestly.
The slow descent of Chris Statlander, or Stat Daddy as she is called on social media, has been fun. It has been fun. It has been fun.
Her fucking poof of smoke she went up in this week was super funny.
Yes.
Like, honestly, I just love that so much.
She is crazy. We got a new faction. What are they called? The women? What are they called?
What are they called?
I'm bringing up Shop AEW right now because I saw the shirt. I actually almost
Oh, they had a shirt, yeah.
Triangle of Madness.
Yes, I forgot. Yeah, because AEW and their trios, they have to have a triangle involved with it. I swear to God.
Triangle every of time. Madness. Yes. Death Triangle, now the Triangle of Madness, or the Trapezoid of something is what Willow said. It feels like with them and having that kind of relationship with Megan and Penelope, I don't want to say in case it doesn't happen, and I don't want to break anybody's hearts, but it feels like we're building to a Women's Blood and Guts.
Little bit.
It feels like that's what's happening. I'm not going to say it's going to happen. I don't know. I have no clue if it's going to happen. But it feels like we are ripe for Women's Blood and Guts. So that would be awesome, because especially Triangle Madness, Megan Bain, Penelope on one side. Maybe they do another person other than Penelope. I don't know. I like Penelope. Then you have, looks like Queen Amanada, Willow. I forgot, who did they say was going to be the third person in the match? I don't know. I can't remember. Kairi Sheeta is back in the States, apparently. So
yes.
We got some stuff that can go. Down to Women's Blood and Guts. Like I said, I don't know if we're going to get it, but it would be fun if we could.
I would love it. I would love nothing more than that because, I mean, like, we know these girls can do good extreme matches. I feel like they have every right that they could do a great performance in a Blood and Guts match, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But regardless of everything, guys, we caught up a little bit. I'm just going to quickly get the shill out of the way since we're just kind of rolling in. We're just vibing and talking wrestling. Support the show, downloading us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers who you wish. Rate, review, subscribe, and follow us on Twitter at AT Elite Pod. You can also follow at Social Suplex who make this show possible. I'm at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. I think we've caught up with a good majority of everything that we wanted to, so we can go ahead and get into Dynamite. So like I said, we made the last minute decision to go to Dynamite. So we were there.
Live in building, baby.
Yeah. It was honestly a lot of fun. Match show opened up with MJF delivering a message to Mark Briscoe and Hangman Adam Page, basically. Basically saying, you know what? You refuse to give me a world title shot unless I execute this contract. One of your close friends now is going to pay because of that. So he continues to talk about how you're going to look into the eyes of the devil. I'm sending you straight back to hell, a.k.a. Dumpster Fire Delaware. And he calls out his cat character, basically being like, you know what you are? You're not championship material. You're white trash who got lucky, because that's why these people cheer for you, because they pity you. And now your luck's going to run out. We then went right into the opening match, which was Jon Moxley versus Speedball Mike Bailey. Fun stuff, honestly. The fucking flip into the knees on the railing. Holy shit. That is such a fire spot. I liked how Moxley was just consistently like egging Bailey on to just throw everything at him. The great speed he used for when he got out of the way of Bailey's dive and then poked him in the eyes was a nice spot as well. I barely even saw this when it happened, but like while there's chaos basically and Wheeler Yuta is interrupting, Yuta all of a sudden gets chloroformed by fucking Darby Allin. I fucking like was looking to the side and I looked in to the right and I'm like, holy shit, Darby just took him away. I'm like, he just vanished. So that was crazy. I also love the little like jawing with Kevin Knight and Marina Shafir. I was like, oh damn, like she not backing down for nobody, which was awesome. Distraction though, there was some nice counters from Moxley. He puts him dead on his head, basically, with the Death Rider, and then pins Speedball. Then they head straight into the crowd, going to try to find Yuta, and that's when they find Yuta in a body bag. I thought this was stapled to his head. It wasn't. It was taped to his forehead. He said Forbidden Door. So, Jon Moxley versus Darby Allin at Forbidden Door? That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Match announced. What? 18 days in advance. What?
Crazy. What is this?
It's almost like they want to build excitement for their pay-per-view. It's crazy. I thought this segment was amazing. Hey, you know what? I might not personally be all the biggest fan of Speedball back Bailey, but I don't doubt what that man can do in the ring. I have never doubted what he is a really, really good pro wrestler. And last night was some really, really good pro wrestling. I just really enjoyed this match. I love how much Moxley gave him. I his move set is so unique. You know what I mean? It'd be like with every other wrestler, you can be like, this wrestler wrestles like this person. This wrestler's like this person with a little bit. Who can you compare Speedball Mike Bailey to? He has made his own style. And I'm like, and this is a lot, me saying this good stuff about him, because I really, really am not a fan. But the way he has brought on his whole space in uniqueness in professional wrestling, I have to commend that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, honestly, I feel that, honestly. So that was a great opening match to begin with. We have a great backstage interview with Tony Storm and Alex Windsor, basically saying all this shit. So a menagerie of bruising, brawling bitches I used to pray for times like this. And Windsor and them basically have this, like, if there's anything I know about this clearly non-sexual friendship, is that you can beat us down, but you can't beat us off. And I'm just like, holy shit. Tony Storm basically says, Athena, this is your moment. And then it's on to Forbidden Door, where I will reverse my London luck. And then after they do their great little fucking like dance move they do off screen, that was great. And then it goes right into Mercedes Moné arriving, basically calling Renee Paquette a mark for going on about how we haven't seen you since you lost that match between Toni Storm. It was so incredible. It was the best women's match in the history of the sport. Granted, you didn't win. And then she called her a mark. And then we went right into the Forbidden Door qualifier with Queen Aminata, Billy Starks, Alex Windsor, and Sky Blue. And some really good stuff, honestly. Like, I thought there was some good work between everybody pairing off with each other. Aminata had some fun work. I like the long train from the Boston Crab was a good spot as well. I love the sun. There was a point, though, Sky was trying to hit the sunset flip powerbomb on the outside, and she was struggling, and like it was a little bit of a missed spot for the most part. But I mean, they picked up from it pretty well and were able to bounce back. I love the strikes with the headbutts from Windsor. Like, she was laying the headbutts on thick in this match. But after there was some interference with Athena, Alex Windsor countered Billy Starks, got the winner with a win with a roll up. Mercedes then confronts Alex, and Toni Storm's watching from behind, and Athena then blindsides Toni Storm and hits the O face. And then Moné hits the lung blower on Windsor. They have a face-off. And immediately I was like, Athena, Mercedes, give me that shit yesterday. Give me that shit yesterday. The second they faced off, I was like, I need that. I need that in my life. Give it to me now.
Well, you're probably going to get them as a tag team first. But
I know, but still.
Windsor, she's very entertaining.
Windsor,
she fits right into AEW right now, and that's great. This whole thing where they're building up to, well, not one but two big women's matches at the pay-per-view,
yeah.
And I feel like there's going to be like some kind of third women's match too. So we got like, and again, weeks in advance, Mercedes. Toni Storm versus Athena, which is like a big match that people have been waiting on for a few years now. This is wrestling. This is what we, you know, as I say, we used to dream of times like this. This is amazing. And I know right now people are like, the women's division in AEW is the hottest women's division in the world. I do think he has the best stories in wrestling right now. And I challenge you to put anyone else up against it. So I am really enjoying this whole storyline, and the O face, when performed correctly, I think is the most beautiful move in wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, dude. It's such a good move.
Yeah. When she hits it right, oh my God, it's on another level.
Oh, it's like, oh, it's the best. Honestly, like, it's one of the things I love so much about her, her wrestling style is that finisher just hits so goddamn hard.
Yeah, it's no one should ever kick out of it. And you can get towards the rope and get your foot on it. You can roll out the ring, but no one should ever kick out of it.
They should protect the hell out of it, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
We then moved into backstage. Young Bucks immediately grab some guy backstage and go, listen, we want some respect, and you guys have dropped us out. And you're giving us the worst entrances ever. You don't do that, heads are going to roll. We want everything, LED, pyro, everything. And then give this note to Justin Roberts and say, word for word, verbatim, have him do this so he can introduce how, this is how you introduce a couple of stars. So that was funny. And then we'll get into that later. And then we have the in-ring segment with Kyle Fletcher, basically, where he builds up Kyle Fletcher and said Dustin Rhodes got exactly what he deserved for stealing Fletcher's moment at All In. And you know what? He's like, he joked about how he's like, we may never see Adam Cole wrestle again because of me, and like was hyping that up. And then listen, whenever a Don Callis family member wins a championship, that is when you get some art. And that is when you get a great victory with the damn painting. And they've already got the print on the shop. It's the print and the t-shirt. Ridiculous. And a t-shirt. Oh. If you buy that shirt, I can't look at you in the eye.
I need you to be able to look me in the eye because I did buy the shirt. That is going to be the shirt that I wear to New Japan, to Japan, when I go to Japan. Nice Don Callis, because, you know, Takeshita's probably going to be in a big match. So I want to represent the Don Callis family. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Get to wear art. I don't have any room for it on my wall. Otherwise, it would probably be a painting on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. I got a tear in it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. This in-ring segment was all right. It was pretty solid enough for a heel segment. I was surprised there was no interruptions. I was purely thinking somebody was going to come in and interrupt it. That was kind of what I was waiting on. It didn't happen. So I was like, oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because they respect Don Callis. You should, like everyone, you should respect Don Callis. Big DC. Now, I did have a funny tweet. I thought it was funny. Motherfuckers might thought of it. But it did look like there was a moment. So you had Hechicero, Josh Alexander, Kyle Fletcher, Don Callis, and then you had Lance Archer. Literally, it looked like he stole everyone else's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, Hechicero, I don't know. He might have a beautiful, long, flowing hair. But honestly, the way his mask fits, I'm thinking his hair is pretty short. So, or non-existent. But, yeah, it just looked like Lance Archer's like, yeah, I'm the only one allowed to have hair here. And who's going to argue with him?
I agree. I mean, I just loved how he was sitting up, too, and he was standing up and just kind of looking out over everybody, honestly.
Dude, and again, I said this back in the day, and I'm glad they, you know, listened. How do you have Lance Archer on your roster and not have him on TV in some way? He's just such an impressive-looking individual. I've been missing Hobbs lately. He may be just taking a little time off. I want him to come back. But, yeah, how do you just, like, have someone that looks like that? I'm like, I don't necessarily – you don't have to wrestle. He just literally follows Don Callis around. And basically it's why Don Callis doesn't get beat up, because you got that giant murder hog monster there that will beat you down and then pray for you. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. So we moved right into Adam Copeland, who had a message basically being like, you know what? Hey, listen, I know I can't get within 200 feet of you guys, but that means you can't get within 200 feet of me. And that works out great because I got on the phone with Tony Khan for the first time ever next week, Rated R Superstar versus Stokely. And if FTR interferes, your whole restraining order is null and void. And very quickly backstage, Big FTR and Big Stoke responded, and Big Stoke he's defiant. He's like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to do what my boss says, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face, and I'm going to have an even bigger smile when you have to go home and look at your wife, who has the head of a micro baller, and your future juvenile delinquent kids, and tell them Big Stoke pinned you in the ring. And it's like, it doesn't matter. Look at me. I'm a professional wrestler. I'm short. I'm bald. I can't get any hoes. I've been fighting my entire life. So I'm going to be able to keep fighting and beat you next week.
Yes.
This man broke Cash and Dax.
Yes. Dax literally had to put his hand over his face. And then the look on his face when he said, your wife got a head like a micro baller. His eyes got opened up real big. I was like, man, you can't say that about Betty. You can't. I mean, hey. Adam Copeland can get dumped on his head 112 times. You leave Betty out of it, okay? All right. You leave my Beth out of it. Oh, when she wrestled, she was my favorite wrestler. It wasn't even close. It was like, I love Beth Phoenix. So, yeah, like, you know, she catches a shatter machine. Sorry. But that being said, this was the promo of the year. This is not a category on AEW as promo of the year, but I almost feel like it should be. Because this was amazing. Because, you know, how do you sound that confident when you're scared shitless? He just showed you how you do that. He sounded confident and terrified at the same time. But I ask this. I love, you know, I love when a manager gets his just desserts. I do. I grew up on it. Bobby Heenan and all that stuff. But what has Big Stoke really done to deserve to be involved in a wrestling match. Like, if you look at Vic Stokes' time with FTR, how many times he's actually gotten physically involved, it is nothing. It feels like this is a jump in the logic. Like, it feels like this is, like, you skipped a week where, you know, Stoke, like, attacked Cope or something. Because the last time we saw, Cope got the better of Stoke. So there's really no, what I call, kayfabe justification for Tony to say yes to a match with a non-wrestler. Mm-hmm. So I had to respectfully ask TK, like I've done, I need you to adjust your, because you literally got this non-wrestler, this strategist, this manager, in there with a psychopath that carries around wood that has nails sticking out of it. Adam Copeland is not right. He is not right. He is a terrifying human being, and the fact that you're going to put Stokely in there with him is wrong. It is egregious. You know, we need Mark Sterling on top of this to get this decision reversed, because I am scared for Big Stoke. Now, that being said, I will, like the Black Tiger and Tiger Mask stories before, we will pass on the name of Big Stoke. So after he dies next week, I will take on the moniker of Big Stoke for him. But but if we cannot get this match reversed and we all know what's going to happen and Cope is going to murder him, I would like to take on the moniker of Big Stoke. But no, this was hilarious, terrifying for my boy Stoke. I know he's a member of FTR, but he's not a wrestling member of FTR. This is like making Bill Belichick go against Miles Garrett in a Texas drill or something. This is crazy. Why would you do this? I don't like it. But I do have a prediction.
Oh, yeah?
And this is not a spoiler. This is a prediction because they have done nothing to hint it. But next week's in Cincinnati, right? This is Cincinnati. Let me make sure. Because this week was Cleveland. Cleveland was the home of Wardlow. And I thought Wardlow might come back in Cleveland. I think Wardlow's going to come back in Cincinnati and help Vic Stoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've had this puzzle that is slowly, piece by piece, coming together to make this beautiful picture that I want to happen. And it seems to be slowly manifesting in my direction. Stoke is in a match with a giant human being, and FTR can't come to the ring. FTR can't come to the ring. And let me make this statement again. FTR can't come to the ring. Does Cope have a match announced for Forbidden Door?
Not at the moment.
Yeah. So
it's interesting, isn't it?
So what happened is Cope couldn't go after FTR. So he hired the Hurt Syndicate. I mean, fair play.
Makes a little sense to me, yeah.
So why wouldn't FTR do the same thing? You can outsource an ass whooping.
And yes, you can do that.
And there's this big, giant, angry man that was literally an American Gladiator that hasn't been wrestling. Again, no hint of this at all. I've nothing, no tweets, no nothing. AEW, he put out a big Instagram post. AEW didn't even retweet it. So it seems like they're pretty distant. So my prediction is truly a prediction. It's going to be Wardlow. So if it's
that'd
wrong.
That'd be huge.
If it's right, then what I think is about to happen, which I have not been saying because I don't want to jinx it, is about to happen. And you're about to have the happiest version of Floyd you've ever fucking seen in your life.
Oh, you'll be hype. I know that for sure.
Yes, yes. If everything is falling the way I think it's about to fall.
All right, we'll move right into the Tag Team Eliminated Tournament semifinal. Brody King and Bandido versus the Young Bucks. When the Bucks come out, they have their theme back, and they proceed to try to go up the center with the entrance ramp, and it gets stuck, so they have to climb underneath it. Then they're waiting for their pyro, and a giant ass mortar goes off behind,
That scared the piss out of me. Like, I was filming it, and I was looking for some pyro, and I just heard, bam, and I just, like, literally zoomed all the way out of my phone, and I was like, holy shit. Like, it scared the piss out of me. And then you get the two weak-ass little fireworks, and then the entrance video returns with the EVPs crossed out and the Comic Sans, and what might be some of the best work I've ever seen from Mikey Ruckus.
Dude, yes. Let me tell you, Jeremy and Max, the Young Bucks, that's a great team right there. Love it. But this was hilarious. And it was, yeah, this was, I don't have another word. It was just so funny. The screen not coming down, the Justin Roberts reading the announcement exactly the way they wrote it. Oh my God. And he did it without breaking. Shout out to the professional, which is Justin Roberts. Cause I would have broke. I wouldn't have got that out.
Yeah. Oh, I would have died. His commas and reading the punctuation was the best part of the whole thing.
He was literally AI. He read it like AI, which is hilarious. Talk to text or whatever. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah. And the match itself was absolutely fire. Like, by far match of the night. The work they did. I love the way the crowd was leading into the jobber chants and everything. I thought that was fire. And I loved just the work Brody did. He's so over. Bandito's so over. The fact too, also, I forgot to mention how the Young Bucks were named. Their lower third was their Generation Me names. That was incredible.
Absolutely. All my Young Bucks friends were messaging me. They really, really enjoyed it. It was amazing.
Yeah. I especially love just the work that these guys did on the outside. I just loved how well these guys were working each other. I mean, like, the match itself was just got a great Death Valley driver on the apron. Brody, like, tried to make sure he held up Matt before it looked like he was going to fall. Like, his strength was on display with this match. And I was like, we're going to get Bucks FTR again. I was just like, I don't need to see this again. So I was honestly stunned when Brodito won the match. So now they're going to have a showdown with FTR, which was huge. I popped so hard for that. I just love the fucking tag team finisher they have where Brody launches Bandito into a forward flip with his fucking giant ass feet. Like, that shit is so goddamn crazy.
Yes, Brody King again. And every time I watch him wrestle, every time he's doing some amazing shit, I realize he might be one of my favorite wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally one of my favorite performers, so, because he's so versatile and he's just so massive. Like, he's so massive, but he's so sure of his size that he moves in such a fluid way. And it's everything he does looks fucking violent, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. The last time I just was kind of ho-hum on a Brody King match. When he wrestles, whether it's one-on-one or on a tag team, my eyes are fixed on him, and I'm jumping up with everything he does. He's in this match with Bandito, which I don't know if they've ever tagged before outside of AEW. They may have, but they have this kind of amazing chemistry. But they do these little subtle things that I don't know if it's... And this is when you love wrestling. You don't know if it's like... Like, is it really messed up, or are they playing the fact that they don't know each other well? Because did you see how many times they had to adjust to get in the right place for a move? It kind of goes with them not wrestling together that much, right? Mm-hmm. But it could be, because with wrestling, I like to have that question, man, because I don't know if they're doing that to be like, okay, these two people haven't wrestled a lot together, so they would have to adjust and move around a lot to get there. Or if it really is just timing issues of somebody that hasn't worked together. And I don't really care. I think it adds so much to their tag team that they're just not, they didn't just get together yesterday and like everything comes together perfectly. I really do hate that in tag team wrestling because it makes tag team wrestling look easy. And the thing is, to me, to what makes tag team wrestling and singles wrestling so different and makes it so beautiful is that there is supposed to be a camaraderie. There is supposed to be, I know what you're doing before you do it. It's like the relationship between a quarterback and a wide receiver. Like, I know what you're going to do, our safety in a corner. I know what you're going to do before you're doing it so I can have your back.
Yeah, no, yeah. I get that mindset completely, honestly. Yeah. We can go ahead now and then just bouncing off of that. MVP has a moment where basically he is with the Hurt Syndicate and, you know, gives a congratulations to Brodito and said, we'll be happy to hurt them. But then he gets interrupted by MJF and he said, listen, we don't need Bob. We don't need Shelton. We just need each other. And MVP immediately goes, you don't get it. It's all about us. Now you're talking about we. And I told you we hurt people if you joined. And since you joined us, all you've been talking about is me, me, me. So he said, here's my last act of kindness, basically saying, I do love you like a little brother. We will leave you in one healthy piece so that you can pursue your big, beautiful belt. But if you succeed, because I'm hoping you fail in your endeavor, because if you succeed, Bobby Lashley is coming for you, and it won't be business. It will be very, very personal. So, and the website basically like tries to say that MVP kicked MJF out of the Hurt Syndicate. Like, did you take that way? Because that's what the AEW webpage says.
Absolutely, because Sheldon gave him the first thumbs down. Bobby gave him the second thumbs down at the end of the show last week, and MVP was the third thumbs down. He is out of the Hurt Syndicate.
Got it.
Yeah. It was just never said, but it was just the, just with the thumbs down.
Got it. So the thumbs down was when they kicked him out, so.
Yeah.
So honestly, I love the fact that now MVP gets to kind of like have his boys go after, hold on to his tag team titles, but then also now it leads that little idea of Bobby now being a world championship contender, because I'm right there with you, honestly. I think having that put in people's heads, I think, is a good thing to do early on, because that's something you could absolutely do as a match for Hangman or anybody, really. Lashley going after them would be fucking huge.
Because you got to remember, Bobby Lashley has not lost a singles match in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Period. His big win was against Swerve, a former champion. So you think they would have done more by now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll see.
We will see. We then have Swerve Strickland doing his promo to call out Kazuchika Okada, basically being like talking up and down, basically being like asserting Okada's prowess, basically being like, you're a generational wrestler that comes around once every 1,000 years, but I'm something that's never been seen before. There's never been a Swerve Strickland, and there will never be another one afterwards. And he said, he stared in my eyes, and I saw nothing in his, and if he looked in my eyes, he saw death, because I put the fear of God in that man. So he said he's going to continue his legacy by defeating the real, literal Japanese legend and stand in the middle of the ring in the O2 arena over the defeated body of Kazuchika Okada. And while Don Callis cries in the corner like the little bitch he is, I'll have my arm raised with the Unified Championship in my hands, and everyone will chant my name, Whose House. Good promo from Swerve building up the match at Forbidden Door. It's going to be an exciting match, honestly. I'm hyped about the whole deal.
Yeah, dude, this is a perfect, technically first opponent for the new title. And
yeah.
Okada, you know, it is Swerve who's, you know, honestly, okay, so Hangman is the face of AEW. I think Swerve is like the heart and soul, like the protector. If you think of, you know, AEW like Thor's home place, Swerve is the Heimdall of AEW. He is the protector. He is the gatekeeper. If you want to be anything in AEW, you got to come see Swerve.
Yeah, no, Swerve is the guy that's like, he's in between all of that, for sure.
Yes. Like, think about it. Like, anybody they brought in, anybody they wrestled with, you have to come see Swerve. You have to work your time with Swerve. You got to recognize whose house it is.
No question. And it is his house. Like, for certain, dude, it is his house. Like, dude, Swerve is so over, and, like, I love how much he's positioned in the company because he's consistently my favorite, honest to God.
It's so weird. There's, like, him, Mox, Will Ospreay, Hangman, MJF. You have five guys in the company that you can put the world title on, and you would feel comfortable with them being the face of your company. Five guys. Name a time in wrestling where any company has had that many people that they would be like, we are okay with you being the face of the company. Like, we are behind you. I think if any of those five dudes are the face of your company, that's amazing right now. I think, and then you look at who's next in that line. They haven't built Bobby Lashley to that, but it wouldn't take too many wins to get him there. Kyle Fletcher's on his way down the road. Takeshita's on his way down the road. And if you even go in years later, like a year's projection, you got Nick Wayne. AEW's is about as healthy from a star perspective as any wrestling company in the world. Like, God forbid, Cody was to get hurt. I don't want it to happen. You all know he's my favorite wrestler. Who is that guy that you're looking at as the face of WWE after him? They would have a hard time problem finding one, right?
Man, yeah.
You're filling that role. There is AEW so deep right now, they don't have that problem. Orange Cassidy, Jay White, Adam Cole, they're all on the bench. They're all injured right now. That's another set of people that could be in higher positions in your company. AEW is as healthy as it's been in a long time as far as star power.
Oh, yeah. No, 1,000%. It's great to see the way the talent roster is for real. We then go into a backstage promo with Mark Briscoe, basically saying he's going to make MJF pay for his sins. And then Hangman comes out saying how he's known him for 14 years now, PWX, Ring of Honor, New Japan. He said, I always looked up and admired the Briscoes. And he's like, listen, if you win tonight, and I know you're as good as anybody else, I hope Alicia's right, because I hope you're the next one to challenge for the world championship. So he wishes him good luck. We have an interruption from Chris Statlander, which we talked about, basically leading into their match they called out for Collision.
She's so crazy.
She's nutty.
And I love it. I love it. She plays it so well. Who knew that crazy, crazy ex-girlfriend was Chris Statlander's role in life?
Yeah. Look. I dig crazy chicks, and I like the crazy that she's showing, honestly. It's quite fun. She's having a lot of fun with her promos, too, you can tell.
Absolutely.
And then we got into the main event, which the main event was Briscoe versus MJF. And solid work.
I thought it was, like, finish, an amazing match, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really damn good, honestly. The thing was, the finish caught me off by surprise. Like, just having him win the match and Briscoe's foot up is on the ropes, and Bryce didn't see it. Yeah. And I loved how MJF consistently tried to make him not watch the replay back, but I did not see that finish coming like the way that it did. But it was really good. I loved every time MJF was consistently rolling out of the ring to avoid the froggy bow. I loved that work from him. MJF, of course, is still spectacular as a heel. Mark was flying all over the place, really trying to use the aerial offense to get his stuff in, but eventually he did it at the wrong time and went through the table as MJF rolls out of the way once again, and he's able to get the win and exploit him with the Heat Seeker with his foot on the ropes. It didn't matter because ref didn't see it, and then he hits the Dynamite Diamond Ring on him, on Briscoe afterwards. Hangman gets involved. They start brawling, and they're fighting through the crowd. It was a great way to close out the show.
Do you see coming what I think I see coming, which is, again, not this prediction, not a spoiler, but I think everything's lining up that we're getting a triple threat of Forbidden Door?
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking it's probably going to lean towards.
Yeah, I feel like
Briscoe's got to be in it, I feel like.
Yeah, and I just think that's a great first match for Hangman, because I want, like, I think he's going to have a big singles match at All Out. But Forbidden Door is about so much other stuff. I wouldn't want his, like, first definitive, like, you know, I'm not talking about the box match, but first new contender world title defense to come at Forbidden Door. I'd rather it come at All Out, not just because I'll be there, just in general. So I feel like it's going to be MJF, Hangman, and Briscoe in a triple threat match at Forbidden Door. Again, prediction, that's just me guessing. Like, no, well, I don't have any inside information. I hope I've let y'all know that. I hope that it's been clear. I am in no way affiliated with anybody inside of AEW that would give me information. Now, I have a lot of friends at AEW, but none of them would say anything to me. So everything I say is always prediction. And again, I wouldn't ask because, as I've stated before, I watch the show every week. Again, I watch wrestling like it's a TV show. Throw this out there one more time. I watch wrestling like it's a TV show. I don't want to know everything that's going to happen before it happens. I like to guess, and I like to be right. You can't guess and be right if you already know the answer. That's stupid. So, I just think how it's doing, how the pieces are falling, it's naturally. Mark Briscoe is the guy Hangman wants to wrestle. MJF is the guy that, because he won, probably the guy that Hangman's supposed to wrestle. But you got Tony Khan that's going to be like, well, his foot was on the rope, and that might, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Miscalled. That might go ahead.
I love how he cheered for, he's like, clean win, baby, on Twitter immediately after he won the match.
As I said, clean in the middle, just like I like it. Him and FTR, man. Thinking man's wrestlers. Always, you know, win.
Ain't that right.
Clean in the middle.
For sure. Yeah, but honestly, like, such a good show, and I was glad that we went to this one in particular. This is so much fun to be in person for, like, just great matches all together. It's going to have a good collision as well coming up this Saturday.
Dude. Yeah, nice loaded card for collision.
Yeah, no, for real. Hangman and Jet Speed are teaming up to face La Facción in Ingobernable. You've also got...
And I was going to add this about Infection Ingobernable. They have made it clear that they're coming for the Trios titles, currently held by the Ops, which I think everybody except Will Hobbs has been written off. So it might be a few weeks before they come back, or it might just be at Forbidden Door. But they said they're coming from the Ops, so take with that what you may.
All right, yeah, I feel that for sure. And then also you've got the six women match between Queen Amanato, Ty Mello, and Willow Nightingale versus the Triangle of Madness. So that's gonna be fire. You're also gonna go out and you're gonna have a great match between Kyle Fletcher and Tomohiro Ishii for the TNT Championship. That being his first defense is going to be hype. I'm very excited about that.
And then they both use the same finisher.
They do.
It's the Battle of the Brainbusters. I'm down. Yep.
And we're going to have a face-off next week on Dynamite in Cincinnati with Hangman and MJF.
Oh, dude. So, yeah, that and then that disgusting singles match we're going to have next week. Formerly Edge, Adam Copeland against, you know, bald, short, no hose, Stokely Hathaway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The man that flipped me off at All In. So I kind of want him to get his ass whooped a little bit, but not a lot. Just, you know, he flipped me off for no reason.
Yeah, what the hell was that about?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he didn't recognize me. We look exactly alike. He was confused. He saw this larger, more handsome version of himself, and he was just like, I don't know what to do. I can't accept all this attractiveness, so he just flipped me off. I get it.
He really couldn't, honestly, for being real.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm sitting here in my pink FTR shirt. I mean, he's in a beautiful suit. The sweatsuit, it would not fit me, but I would definitely steal it from him. But yes, his child-size sweatsuit, wouldn't have fit me, but again, he flipped me off, no good reason. I forgive him because he's with my boys, but if he wants to go down, we can fight. And like I said, after he dies next week, I will be Big Stoke, which, you know, Probably yeah, more appropriate.
You'll be able to flow in and do that immediately. Immediately.
Probably more appropriate for me to be mixed up.
Just a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Just a little bit. For sure. But I think that's going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. We appreciate the patience. Oh, wait, you got one more thing?
Yeah, okay. So I told you I was going to address it. So there's been some rumors going out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we don't usually address these on the show, but it got pretty big. You know, it was everywhere. MVP, who is above all of this Twitter bullshit, even felt the need to address it, which...
He did. He's like, anybody got some rumors? Some spicy rumors that they want to hear about?
So the rumor was that MVP is rubbing people wrong the back row. That Hurt Syndicate doesn't want to lose to FTR, doesn't want to lose to Jets, didn't want to lose to other people. They want to lose to up and coming tag team, and you know, basically they don't like how Bobby is, you know, featured in the role, and you know, that, and he doesn't like Speedball Mike Bailey. I don't even know how the last part got through on there, that he doesn't like Speedball Mike Bailey. Like, what does that have to do with anything? I had a person that's like, man, you need a good reason not to have Speedball Mike Bailey. And I was like, I replied, I was like, let's pretend these wrestlers are real humans. And I'm not speaking again towards MVP. I'm just talking, this is in general. Have you ever not met a person that just rubs you the wrong way, that you just don't like? A coworker? You're not friends. You're coworkers. like that happens. That happens in life. Like I said, I read it, and it seems really, and I said this to Austin before we got on, it seems really inflammatory, you know, if you're just looking at it, right? It's like, you know, oh, this look seems really, really inflammatory. But when you think about it, people don't like each other, and they work together. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart hated each other, and they had to work together. That's life. There's wrestlers that hate each other. Now, you don't need a good reason not to like someone. You do need a good reason not to work with somebody. That's how wrestling, you know, that's when it affects your job, right? But in general, if he just doesn't like them, doesn't need a good reason. The Hart Syndicate worked with Jet Speed at All In. So, obviously, even if he fucking hates Jet Speed, it didn't work, right? They worked together. Right? I mean, they worked together. I mean, and understand, and I think this is the hard part for everybody. As long as wrestling has been around, and I know we're living in this kumbaya world where Will Ospreay's like, I want Hangman to win. Hangman's like, I want Will Ospreay to win. You know, and we're living in this kumbaya world. But that's not professional wrestling as I have known it through my life. The professional wrestling I have known and have heard of and have read about through my life is people have input on their stories, have ideas of who they should win and lose to, and generally protect their spot. They want the story to make sense. They want input. But ultimately, and I said this to JR, ultimately, the person that makes the decision is Tony Khan. So if they're like, okay, Hurt Syndicate, you're losing to FTR this week. And MVP's like, Tony, let's go in the office. They come out in the office, and Tony's like, okay, well, Hurt Syndicate's not losing to FTR this week, right? That ultimate decision is on Tony Khan, not MVP. It is. MVP is allowed to make suggestions. He is allowed to give his ideas. He's allowed to do that. like, it's ultimately the boss that makes the decision. So, again, all of this is work product. You know, I've been watching a legal show. So that's been a word that's thrown around on the show. But all of it's work product. This happens in the backstage that I don't have any privilege to, and you don't know how these meetings and stuff go down. But apparently it has annoyed someone in the back enough that they have spread these rumors, or these rumors are coming from somewhere that's not in AEW. But either way, if you think about each piece of information as one piece of information, which I've actually heard about a lot of this stuff for months, but I felt no need to address it. But if you think of it, it's just information, it's really not that big a deal. It looks inflammatory when it's not really.
immediately looked to me as like a bunch of nothing.
Yeah, it's like Bryan Danielson probably has an idea of who she should win to and who she winning again and who he should lose to. Swerve, Will Ospreay, anybody with any sort of standing is going to have thoughts on their storyline.
Yes.
Apparently, I've always heard the rumor MJF has Tony's ear. That's great. You can take a lot. You can take information from everywhere. But ultimately, whether who wins, loses, or whatever, comes down to Tony. He has said that so many times. So I'm just like, I'm not going to sit here and blame a wrestler if they're allowed to talk, if they're able to talk their boss into something. Why would I blame the wrestler? Like, this is, you know, so whatever. Everybody has this whole thing, and, you know, it's just like, I just think it was much ado about nothing. I brought it up because it blew up so hard. MVP, Chad didn't need to address it. Him and Speedball did a video together, which was hilarious. Because MVP's like, fuck you, Speedball. And he was all like, fuck you, MVP. And then he made Bobby Lashley and Shelton say, fuck you. They didn't want to. And everything I've ever heard about Speedball is that he's, like, the best guy ever. Right. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about him. The 5 to 10 second interaction I had with him at StarCast, he seemed like a really happy dude. And but again, I had a 5 to 10 second interaction with him. So who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
But again, we there's WWE Unreal now because people are so obsessed with what happens backstage. Me personally, I have found in this year, in 2025, I have been on this I don't want to know anything tip.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, we watch the show. We cover the show. I want to be as much from a fan point of view as I could possibly be. The less I know about what's happening backstage and who likes who and who doesn't like who makes it me. It allows me more to watch it as a fan. Do you agree with
genuinely,
that?
Genuinely, though. Yeah, genuinely. Though.
Like, I watch it as a fan. We are a fan podcast. Like, there are probably more hard-hitting, analytical, critical AEW podcasts out there, and I suggest you go listen to them, because I don't. I don't listen to them. I listen to our show, and I listen to the Dynamite reviews from Voice of Wrestling. I don't really listen to a lot of AEW content, because right. I like to stay in the role of fan, and I want the ideas that I present to you on the show to be mine, and I want Austin's to be Austin's. I don't want it to be because, well, I listened to this show, and this person said this, and that sounds good. Because why are you listening to me? Why don't you just listen to them if I'm just giving you their opinion?
No, 1,000%.
Yeah, so that's why I say. We talk about that a lot, but I just wanted it to be known. I just wanted to be known, like, to me, much ado about nothing. Everybody's going to do what everybody does. All I've heard is how good, solid the locker room AEW is right now. The idea that Will Ospreay and Hangman were fighting to put each other's over shows you that this is a different place than what you've heard about in the past in professional wrestling.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you with that. Like, I'm all for backstage stuff if it's entertaining, but, like, there's nothing really to take out of this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because we don't know. No matter what you hear from backstage, the problem is people start talking about it with facts. And I do know people that know things. I never asked them for clarification. I never asked them for anything. Because, first of all, it's not my business. It really isn't. This is, again, work product. All that matters to me is what shows up on the screen. What I get on Dynamite, what I get on Collision. How the sausage was made, which a lot of wrestling fans are super into, I have become less into. As the older I get and the more I watch these shows, the less I'm into. Less I'm into how the sausage is made.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, with that being said, though, now we can close things out with this show. I know Floyd wanted to touch on that a little bit just because it was making the rounds a little bit. But that's, I think, going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. We appreciate your patience. Sorry for being gone for a little bit, but we're back. We're going to be back doing things weekly, and we appreciate the support you give this show. If you enjoy the podcast, download us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod, at Social Suplex for the guys that make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Go to Chop Tees and get a t-shirt, and also sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Links are in the description of this show. And with that, I will pass it off to Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
We've been away for a few weeks, so I know some of you haven't listened. But, you know, if you listen, you didn't really like the vibe of this show, pass this shit around like a blunt. You know, you get this into the people's hands that you know that might like a more entertaining, more low-key, more entertainment-based podcast, which is what we do, fan-based entertainment. You get a lot of wild predictions from me, and you have Austin to make it here to make us sound super professional. But we want to thank all the listeners of Social Suplex. We've gotten like a flood of donations to the Social Suplex Podcast Network, and you know, a setup through Red Circle. And we want to just say from me and Austin, if it's for us or not for us or whatever, we really appreciate anyone. If you get you listen to us, you give us a dime, you give us understand you got our appreciation forever. We do this for fun, as most of the rest of the Social Suplex does. We do this for fun, but, you know, money, you know, doesn't hurt anything. A little extra money doesn't hurt anything. And so we appreciate everyone that listens to the Social Suplex, downloads our show, anything like that. We definitely appreciate it. And again, I'm hoping to introduce a new era of social media activity from our show. So hopefully, shout out to Laura. Thank you for helping with that. I'm bad at it. I told Austin I was bad at it at the beginning. I was like, dude, here's the credentials. If you have time, just tweet out something. Because even if they tweet, even if a person, Laura, me, you, even get like one, two, or two tweets out a day, that's more than's been done on it already. So it's not hard to do more than I've been doing, which, you know, because I don't do a lot. So if you want to engage with that page, again, we're going to try to do better. It's at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. I'm just giving it out again. It's actually at AT Elite Pod on Blue Sky. I don't touch Twitter. I definitely haven't touched Blue Sky. thank you for all listening. Be nice to people. Support your wrestling products. Take care of your friends. You know, it's nice to be nice. Shout out to the homie Jackie. And with that, I will leave you all like I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.